Ulterior.
So, I did not get on this microphone for an episode of this show for, I believe, the entirety of April, and there are a couple of reasons for that, but I also feel like whenever I come back from a hiatus of any kind, I just kind of regurgitate the same shit to you guys, like, oh, personal stuff, oh, lack of motivation, oh, depression, whatever the fuck. So, I'm not really gonna bore anybody with that. I'll just say that I've needed to kind of be away for a little bit and focus on the video content for TikTok and Instagram Reels and wherever else I post that shit. And I also just really needed like some kind of a respite, I guess. There's still stuff going on personally, but you know, we'll worry about that as it happens. I'll phrase it that way. Anyways, so yeah, because I missed all of April, this episode is going to be a, like, cumulative assessment of what went on in the month of April for the scene, so just kind of breezing through my thoughts on some of the albums and singles from the month that I really enjoyed, and I really want to, you know, like, kind of just make the time on this show to talk about and gas up and whatever else. There won't be any, like, song clips implemented the way that other episodes do, just because this is going to be a lot more relaxed and free-form than any other episode, so I'm just going to kind of be, like, you know, casually talking as if, like, I'm talking to a friend, which I am talking to a friend because you guys are listening to this right now and you're my friends, yay. But yeah, so that's how this is going to go. As far as, like, what happened outside of music, because there's a lot to get through for that. So as of the day of this recording, we are in the midst of the NBA playoffs and the NFL draft happened last week. That fucking Falcons pick for Michael Penix when they're paying Kirk Cousins 150, 190, whatever the fuck millions it is to, I don't know what he's supposed to do now, but yeah, that was very, very, very interesting. As of the day of this recording, we are just coming off of the Lakers' elimination from the Nuggets in Game 5 out in Denver. That was a spectacle, and today we're looking at possibly seeing the Knicks finish out the Sixers and, you know, see what happens from there. Very exciting times for hoops, very exciting times for sports. I woke up this morning and saw that Kendrick put out Euphoria and just completely eviscerated Drake. I'm very interested in hearing that to see, you know, how bad it got, because I'd imagine that it looked very, 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 I'm assuming he put it in Drake's stomach. I'll just say it like that. Anyways, yeah, that's kind of what's been going on for outside of music. And now I'm going to go ahead and play the intro, and then we'll move on from there and talk about fucking Alpha Wolf era, Eminence, Bad Omens, Noctiluz, whoever else has done anything of note this month. Now is your time for this pedestal. So yeah, you know, let me gas you up, let me talk some shit on your behalf. So anyways, yeah, that's everything on the agenda. I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Thank you for still rocking with the kid, thank you for still fucking with what I do, and let's make the most of this right now, and let's have a great episode. Also, real quick, by the way, Brock Bauer's sister with the leg sleeve, what's happening? So yeah, like I said before, I'm just going to kind of like breeze through my thoughts on these albums and singles. What I'm going to be doing is looking through the official Ulterior playlist on Spotify and just kind of, you know, fire off some thoughts about what was happening in the month of April that, again, I didn't get to mention, didn't really get to gas up in whatever ways I felt like doing so. So what do we have here? Let me see. So this is a single, not an album. I don't remember if I talked about Killstar, The Cold World by Relica. That was a sensational single. So I've like been aware of Relica and have thought that their material has been, you know, pretty solid. Nothing groundbreaking, nothing mind-blowing, but a very good band in terms of what it is that they do. And then I heard Killstar, The Cold World, back at the beginning of April, and it just kind of felt like, I don't want to say like a completely new band, but it just felt like the ideas of Killstar and that sector of like, you know, technical metal, tech metalcore, whatever the fuck you want to call it, I have never heard it be as like well fleshed out as it was on Killstar. I believe Relica have a full length record coming out soon, and that one single did so much to help me, you know, become accustomed to what it is that they're doing now and what there is for me to look forward to. There were two singles by Knocked Loose: Don't Reach For Me and Suffocate featuring Poppy. So when it comes to Don't Reach For Me, that song just has like, you know, every bit of amplification and aggression that I come to expect out of Knock Loose. There's a section towards, I believe it's the middle of the song, where the instrumentation and like the whole atmosphere and the vibrancy, it just becomes like really like dark and brooding. And I feel like that was a very cool way to kind of like switch up the pace of that song in comparison to what the band had been doing beforehand for this rollout. And then Suffocate featuring Poppy, brother, this was the one. Like, this was the song that when I saw the track list for You Won't Go Before You're Supposed To, which is coming out on May 10th, I was like right there. My eyes just gravitated right towards Suffocate featuring Poppy, and I was like, yeah, brother, like, this is it. This is the one. And Poppy just fucking obliterated her feature spot on that song. The way that she and Brian Garris just compliment each other on that track is just one of like the coolest things that I've been able to hear, not just in April for the scene, but in like last couple of years, really. Like, that song, that did something for me, man. This shit means something to me, man. And then everybody's already talked about it by now, but the reggaeton beat in the breakdown for Suffocate was just so out there and wild, and it definitely had the potential of coming across as cheesy, but because Knocked Loose are the professionals that they are, it turned out to be one of the coolest things I've ever heard from them. And then to kind of segue, like, somewhat relating to Poppy, you guys remember a couple months ago she was on VAN by Bad Omens, and that was meant to be part of Concrete Forever, which is like an expanded variation of the Death Peace of Mind for Bad Omens. So we have a lot more of an idea of what that record is going to be. It's out on May 31st, and the band released The Drain, which has Health and Swarm as a part of it. And I just feel like even though that song is admittedly very simplistic in its delivery and its style, it was still really effective in helping myself and everybody else out there understand what Concrete Forever is meant to sound like, and the, you know, the direction going for it, like that sort of industrial vibe that very much so follows suit with VAN. And I actually got to hear the very first live performance of The Drain. I went to go see Bad Omens here in San Antonio. They opened that additional leg of Concrete Forever here, and it was one of the coolest live experiences I've ever had for a concert. I've probably not felt that way at a show since I last saw Bring Me the Horizon on the Threesome Tour with Sleeping Sirens and Poppy back in 2019. And it was just everything that I could have asked for a Bad Omens show to be. So, you know, Bad Omens, like always, at the top of the scene, at the top of the world right now. May 31st for Concrete Forever. Be on the lookout for that. That record is going to be a very big talking point for this show, I would imagine. And looking at other albums that are, I want to make big talking points right now. So I'm looking at Era, and I'm looking at their album from the beginning of April called Cure. I went into this album very excited for it, and I came out of it probably an even bigger fan of Era than I already was. I remember saying a lot of very complimentary things about the singles rollout, like with Pale Iris and the title track and Blue Reverie. And I feel like when it comes to Blue Reverie in particular, that song kind of allowed me to see like a certain pathway for Cure that would end up coming to fruition. And that is my belief that there were probably some areas of this album where the like writing and composition could have, you know, been derailed a little bit, because there are definitely some songs here that feel like they could have just been perceived as, you know, slightly heavier Ghost Atlas songs. If you guys don't know, Ghost Atlas is the solo project of Jesse Cash, who is the clean vocalist of Era. And Blue Reverie was one of the songs where I heard it and I was like, this feels a bit different and out there for Era. But considering how good Jesse is at just making whatever it is that he does work, there was no issue whatsoever with getting this song to, you know, feel like a proper part of Era's discography. And the same thing with, like, you know, Past Life, Persona, Glimpse. These songs are just, they carry a lot of, like, charisma with them. And I feel like Era do a really good job at kind of showing that off nowadays. When this album wanted to be heavy as shit, it was. And when it wanted to be, like, really soulful and emotional, it was. I have almost no complaints about Cure, and I feel like Era, they're on a trajectory right now that can really help them flourish and become one of the biggest bands in the scene. And I feel the same way about Alpha Wolf. So that same day, Alpha Wolf released Half Living Things, and that album just, you know, delivered on every front that I expected it to. There were definitely some sections of the record that are kind of, like, strange for Alpha Wolf. They feel very, like, sort of like ambient and lean into a certain side of nu metal that whenever bands tap into that, it very, very much so can just fall off the wheels. One of the biggest examples, and I'm not saying that, you know, parts of Half of Everything sounds like this album, but the, let me cook real quick. So, Suicide Silence self-titled, do you guys remember that album? And do you remember the fucking abortion that it turned out to be? And that was because I felt like Suicide Silence, they try to, you know, really, like, hone in on a side of nu metal that you would only hear out of, like, you know, maybe Korn at certain points. And I feel like Alpha Wolf, they kind of have a little bit of that going for them here, but the difference between what Alpha Wolf did here and then what a band like Suicide Silence or any other band that failed at that sector has done before is that they have the talent already to make it work. Like, Lockie already has, like, the ability within his voice to make something like that sound so euphoric and, like, a proper part of Alpha Wolf's discography and their identity and who they are. And so there's really nothing wrong with a song like Whenever You're Ready sounding the way that it does, you know? Big things happening for Alpha Wolf, and they're a very hardworking and deserving group of people. So, you know, as always for any other band like that, you love to see it. You love to see Alpha Wolf getting their flowers. And if any of you guys have the chance to head out to Alpha Wolf's headline shows this coming month, and even Eras for that matter, definitely go there. If you see me out there in San Antonio at both these shows, say what's up, buy me a drink, do whatever. Well, don't do whatever, but you know what I mean. Who else? Let's talk about Imminence and their album, The Black. So, you know, much like Alpha Wolf and Era, there was a lot of anticipation. Why do I keep doing that? Sometimes I try to say anticipation, and I say anticipation. What the fuck am I doing with the fucking English language, man? There was a lot of anticipation building for The Black on Twitter and other sectors of the internet culture for the alternative scene, and in some ways I was thinking, like, can Imminence live up to this? I know that they have the abilities to, because I thought Turn the Light On and Heaven in Hiding were stellar albums, and you could see, like, increasingly with every single for The Black, Imminence just, like, kind of figuring it out and finding what is going to make this album work so well. But I just kept thinking in my head, like, are these expectations too unrealistic? Is Imminence the band that can push metalcore with orchestral elements into the future? And hearing The Black all the way through, 1,000 fucking percent, guys, yes. Imminence is that band. And there are some singles off of The Black, like Come Hell or High Water and Desolation, that I feel like getting to hear them now as part of The Black, I understand that I probably did not do enough to really, like, gas them up and give them their flowers the way that they needed to back when they were singles. But those songs are just tremendous. I look at Beyond the Pale, and I feel like that song really, like, spells out everything about Imminence and who they are and what it is that they bring and what makes them just one of the most special and unique bands that anybody can be talking about today in the scene. And kind of like something what I already mentioned about other bands, when this album by Eminence wants to get heavy, it is just tremendous in that regard. Like, I think about the intro to The Call of the Void, and this is probably like such a like a very out there reference for like something that's kind of predicated on being a scene podcast, but it reminds me of Progenies of the Apocalypse by Demi Borgir. Like, that's just kind of what it like what it represents to me, like that sort of like heavy element. And I really think Eminence do a great job at kind of finding, you know, that balance between the varying sides that they want their band to encompass. Let me see. I'm kind of, like I said, I'm just scrolling through the playlist for Ulterior on Spotify. Okay, so that same day as The Black by Eminence, we had the debut album by Letters Sent Home called Forever Undone. And I had some very high hopes for this album, if nothing else, because the singles rollout was just like so excellent in my mind, and it did a great job at showing the different sides to what Letters Sent Home had in their arsenal. Because I can look at a song like Request Denied and be so captivated by how like pop-centric that song is, and then turn to I Hope I Die First, which is the closer, and just be like so blown away by the emotional wavelengths and the emotional riptide that that song brings with it. And just kind of thinking about the rest of the album and how the intro song Earthquake, it kind of has like a very like a theatrical side to it. And I think that song being the opener and it having that placement there, it kind of allows me to look at Forever Undone as almost like some sort of a play with like all of these, you know, differing acts from one another, and how, you know, Seven doesn't really sound like Gaslight, and then those songs don't really sound like Ignorance. Ignorance is a big one. That features Sumner from Deadlicks. I apologize for forgetting your name, brother. And just kind of like, there's something so like energizing about that song. And even though lyrically it's like kind of like, you know, a bit of a downer talking about you know, the generation and like what they kind of or this current generation and like what they feel, what they endure mentally, emotionally, and all that shit, but it's still something that I can listen to and just like, you know, be amped with, and feel like Ignorance does a great job at being the calling card for this album in so many ways. I thought Letters Sent Home did such an amazing job at putting together this debut album, and if you guys missed out on Forever Undone and you never checked it out, I implore you guys, please, 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 please find the time to give your attention and hopefully flowers in the process to Letters Sent Home. Okay, so now that I'm looking through this lineup of songs, I remember that I really, 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 really wanted to make it a point to mention the new song by Mallory Run. It is called Wither. I mentioned Mallory Run back in 2021 on this show and their EP, Picture Perfect, and the title track for that EP ended up being like number like 17 or 16 in the top 100 songs list for 2021. I was just like that big of a fan of it. And even still to this day, I constantly go back to Picture Perfect over and over again. And I've been able to do the same thing with Wither, because Wither carries with it a lot of those like intangible elements that made this band so memorable. Because even though, you know, before this single, they didn't have any new material for 3 years, but they never once left the forefront of my mind. I could at any given point in any day of mine just randomly think about Mallory Run and be like, you know what, let me listen to them, let me give Picture Perfect another stream or another 100 streams. And Wither just has like that very like kind of like a, okay, this is like oxymoronic, like upbeat emo energy. I feel like if you guys have been tapped into what bands like Movement and Citizen had been doing in years prior, specifically on Youth and Feel Something, this is like right in that area of what it is you would be looking for, and I cannot recommend it enough to you guys. And as I look at this playlist and what's left to go over, there are four albums that I feel like all four of them differentiate from each other pretty significantly, but the impact that all four of these have been able to have on me is so substantial in their own rights. There is Coup de Grâce by CU Space Cowboy, and what I want to say about Coup de Grâce is I do not know as of right now if it is my favorite CU Space Cowboy album, and I only say that because the correlation between Entrance and Exit Wounds had like this very like profound stranglehold on me from 2019 all the way until now. But in that you know, same notion and with that mindset already implemented in me, I acknowledge that this might be the ideal sound for C-Space Cowboy. This might be the perfect approach for them to their music and everything that, you know, embodies their identities and who they are as people and musicians and what they want to send out into the world. Coup de Grâce is kind of like, in so many ways, a love letter to, like, you know, 2000s emo and screamo and post-hardcore. It just has, like, that kind of, like, a big, vibrant feel to it. And there are so many songs on this album that I listen to, and I feel like I could have easily imagined, you know, 11, 12-year-old me having these plastered all over my MySpace page and, you know, telling anybody who will listen, hey, go listen to Red Wine and Discontent. Go listen to Sister with a Gun, because these songs have so much life and energy and character to them. The biggest one for me on the album was Lubricant Like Kerosene, which features Kim Dracula. And a part of that is because I feel like Lubricant is probably the most different song on Coup de Grâce. It's definitely the most accessible, I feel like. And it has, like, this very, I don't really want to say theatrical, but like a show-tuned kind of an energy going for it. And I feel like that is, you know, directly correlated to the guest feature spot of Kim Dracula and everything that Kim was able to bring into this song. And having Kim and Connie, you know, be like the two voices within Lubricant Like Kerosene, that just helped emphasize what it is about C Space Cowboy in their current iteration that, like I said earlier, makes it to where I listen to Coup de Grâce and I'm like, this is probably what this band should be sounding like right now, and they are masters at this craft. And there's a very short list of names of bands I can look to and say, you are in the same echelon as C-Space Cowboy. They are kings and queens at this shit right now. And then on a, like, different end of the scene spectrum, that same day as Coup de Grâce had Searching for Solace by The Ghost Inside, and I feel like this is an album that had and has the potential to be kind of divisive. I truthfully didn't see, like, a ton of talk on my timeline about this album, and I don't know if that's because, you know, people were tapped into Coup de Grâce so much, or they just don't really care about The Ghost Inside anymore, or, you know, whatever the case may be. I don't feel like this album was, you know, really propelled and spoken about that much, and I want to say I feel like I understand why, because if you were, like, you know, locked in for The Ghost Inside's past material, you know, pre-2020 album, pre-accident, all that stuff, this probably isn't what you're looking for, because this is a very, very, very safe play of a metalcore album, and a metalcore album that lingers a lot more on, like, alternative rock at certain points. It's very Wage War in that regard, but me personally, I have no issue with that at all. I truly do believe that if this was the desired sound by The Ghost Inside, and they really, like, honed in on this area to make sure that Searching for Solace was, you know, everything they wanted it to be, they succeeded. I listened to Searching for Solace, and I feel like this album just speaks so much to, you know, like, that super accessible side of metalcore that could have easily, like, fallen off the rails, but to the credit of everybody in The Ghost Inside, I do not believe that was at all ever the case. I think songs like Light Years and Wash It Away, they just, like, really show the prowess of The Ghost Inside when it comes to making these kinds of songs. They're still heavy in the right areas, but they also show off a lot of emotion and a lot of the range to Jonathan's voice, and it's a really good time, and considering everything that The Ghost Inside have had to endure and come back from, me being as attached to this album as I am, I'm very, 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 very happy with that. So two more albums. They were the two most recent that I reviewed for Ulterior. We have Boys of Fall, self-titled album. So when it comes to Boys of Fall, I feel like, for me at least, they scratch, like, this certain itch of the, like, the centerpiece to, like, post-hardcore and pop-punk that not a ton of bands can successfully tap into, but I feel like Boys of Fall have always been the anomaly in that regard. I look at their 2020 album Distance, and I feel like when it comes to, you know, meshing together pop punk and post-hardcore, then even like some metalcore elements in, you know, certain moments, Distance was about as well of an album that any band could have made with that sound in mind. And maybe self-titled here doesn't reach the exact same height as Distance. It still reaches heights that other bands, you know, chasing this kind of sound, I feel like, can only dream of. And I say that with all the respect in the world to them, but I don't know if anybody's doing this style as well as Boys of Fall right now. My favorite song on the album is, like, pretty easily Defamation. I think about that song and just how well it carries everything I mentioned about the, like, soft and heavy sides to Boys of Fall. And it's so comparable in my mind to my favorite songs off of Distance, such as the title track and Overthinking. I think Defamation fits so comfortably in that discussion for, you know, the best song ever made by Boys of Fall. And it's an album that I feel like, you know, for as much as I enjoy it right now, it's only going to grow on me from here on out. I think Boys of Fall really did something special with this album, and I hope everybody's been able to realize that, or at least everybody who, you know, is tapped into Boys of Fall like that. And the last thing that I want to mention on this episode is Infinite Void by With Sails Ahead. So I had seen this band's name show up a lot on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok and Discord and like so many, you know, sections of internet scene culture that I roam in my free time. And it just felt like, you know, I couldn't really get away from the name With Sails Ahead. And I didn't listen to them before 2024. And that's entirely my fault. I was doing myself a massive disservice by missing out on With Sails Ahead, because there is an album, or there is a song on this album called Darting Eyes that came out back in, I believe it was November of last year, so 2023. And had I been aware of that song at that time, I have very little doubt in my mind that it would have made it into the Top 100 Songs series for that year. And there was a question that With Sails Ahead asked on Twitter, like, what's everybody's favorite song and why off of Infinite Void? And I told them, it's Darting Eyes, and I don't even know if I can fully explain why, but there's just something about, like, the cadence and the delivery of the chorus when you take, like, that very, you know, like, high-energy instrumentation and you mix it with Sierra's vocals that give off a lot of, like anime opening energy and vibrancy in that realm. And it just makes Darting Eyes feel just so, like, special and important to the scene today, and definitely important to my life. Like, you know, I don't want to speak too personally about what's been going on lately, but the last couple of days, for as cheesy as this sounds, guys, I genuinely cannot imagine this stretch of my life right now without Darting Eyes. Darting Eyes has become such a huge comfort song for myself, as have songs like Oblivion and Rhine and Lemon Grab. Like, there's just so much on this album that it like represents a very niche type of post-hardcore, but it's a niche type of post-hardcore that very easily can make its way to the forefront of the discussions about the genre and where it stands today. And With Sails Ahead can definitely lead that conversation. I think Infinite Void is the perfect album for them right now. It was as good of a debut as they would have, you know, ever been able to put forth, and I'm very happy with that effort. I'm very, very happy with Infinite Void, and I truly believe this is an album that is going to stay in my rotation, stay in my mind, and there is nothing about With Sails Ahead's delivery that is going to allow Infinite Void to leave my life anytime soon, if ever, really. And that about does it, guys. That is kind of a wrap on my, you know, attempt to summarize my thoughts about April for the scene and make sure that I made mention of what albums and singles really meant a lot to me. And there was quite a bit in April that I feel like I'm going to be able to carry with me throughout the rest of the year into award season in December and then beyond that. And I hope that all of you guys out there have been able to have as much fun with April and music as I have, because there is so much to be excited about right now, so much to look forward to in the future, so many great albums lined up for the coming months, like May, June, July, August, so many great shows lined up. If you guys are going to be heading out to, you know, like Sleep Token, A Day to Remember, Era, Alpha Wolf, Drugs, like whatever it is that you're going to be tapped into for live shows, I hope you have a fucking excellent time there. And yeah, you know, I miss this format, and I don't want to take an extended break again like I just did for April. I obviously cannot guarantee you that will not be the case, because I am human, and at that, I am a somewhat fucked up human, but a human nonetheless. And you know, I'm gonna fall into spells of disinterest and like a lack of motivation and whatever the fuck else. So all I ask is that you guys just, you know, kind of be kind to me in that regard, and I will do my absolute very best to make sure that I don't slip up like this again. And I hope not to, because there's a lot that I want to talk about in the future. Thank you for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and as always, for the love of the game, let's make a scene.